My message tonight is seeing Christmas through a different set of eyes. You know, I have to admit that, first I want to ask you a question. Does Christmas bring back good memories to you? When you think about Christmas, maybe when you were a child. I had that experience this week when I was preparing this message. I've got this little device near my study, and all I have to do is say, "Hey, Google, what's the temperature outside? Did the Yankees win last night?" It tells me everything. And so I said, "Hey, Google, could you play me some Christmas songs?" And all of a sudden, I started hearing Bing Crosby. Now, for you young folks, I know you're not going to know who that is, but Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and Perry Como and Andy Williams and all these great singers of my childhood. And these songs were playing, and I just sat back in my chair and I started thinking about Christmases of the past and how much I enjoyed them. I remember my father and I and my brother, who's 7 years older than me, we would go to Grant Street in Brooklyn because we grew up in Brooklyn. Can anything good come out of Brooklyn, right? So we'd go get this tree, we'd pick it out, the guy would tie it up. And I'll never forget, because I was the little guy, they'd put me in the middle and they'd make me believe I was carrying the load. But actually it was my dad and my brother. And then we'd get it home, we'd put it in the stand. My mother would run and put aspirins. I don't know why she put aspirins in that little holder on the bottom. I always thought as a kid the tree was sick. I don't know if it's true. She told me it makes the tree live longer. I don't know. But she had to throw those aspirins in there. And then my father would pull down this trunk, this steamer trunk. And only once a year did it come down. And we would open it, and all of those Christmas ornaments would be in there from years gone by. And we'd start decorating the tree. And because I was the small one, they would always send me to the back of the tree to hang Christmas balls where nobody else could reach but me. You know, that was good times, decorating that tree with my brother and mother and father. And then we would set up the Lionel trains. I have that set, by the way, still. It's probably worth a fortune. Maybe we'll retire soon. I don't know. But we set up the tracks and you know, the stations and all the figures and the cow crossings and bridges that my dad would put up. And then he'd pour some liquid in the stack of the locomotive, and as it went around, it blew smoke. And I kept thinking about that as Nat King Cole sang in the background. You know, I was a kid that I always anticipated Christmas. Unlike probably most kids, I put my order into Santa months in advance. It may have been during the summer, I'm not sure. But I would ask for a Rifleman rifle. I would ask for Roy Roger guns and holsters and the hat and the chaps and the boots. And I had all these great requests. And somehow Santa would deliver those gifts during the night while I slept. I remember one year, my parents made a big mistake. They bought me a chemistry set. Do you remember the one that came in that metal box with test tubes and all these things? I had no clue what they were. And I mixed up this concoction, and it blew up. And it completely covered the ceiling and the walls of the kitchen. And I was known as the mad scientist after that. My parents regretted that gift probably right up to the time I turned 60. But you know, as I recall, Christmas was the most exciting time of the year for me as a kid. The most exciting time of the year. It was a good exercise for me to just lean back from preparing this message and just drink in the music in the background, those great Christmas songs and reminiscing about the joys of Christmas past. And then, of course, it hit me that there were so many who are no longer around. My parents, my aunts, my uncles, all those folks that came over to celebrate with us, they've all gone home to be with the Lord. And I was actually shocked back into the reality of the present, if you will. You know, there's a lot going on in the present, isn't there? And maybe in your lives right now, in the world, we read the papers. By the way, for Advent, I fasted off of news. I don't watch any news. And do you know what? I'm happier. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. And you know what? I don't care. Amen. Now, I may go back to it after Christmas, but maybe not. My wife says I read more. I'm nicer to be around. I'm not glued to the TV set. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, I went into a pet shop recently, and in the front of the pet shop was a bird cage about 6 foot high, about my height, maybe 3 feet wide, 2.5 feet width. And there was an African gray parrot in there who had a repertoire of words. Like, it was like a human being. And it was speaking and answering. I think I heard a cuss word once, but I'm going to let that one go. But as I was watching this bird, and I think the bird's name was Larry, and I thought to myself, while Larry, this beautiful talking bird, is in this cage I'm staring at, his cousins are flying wild in Brazil, Costa Rica, Mexico, and just free as could be, free as a bird. And Larry's in this cage greeting customers who come through the door day in and day out. And I thought how sad that is. And then I thought of a woman I know whose son is spending Christmas in prison. And I thought about that, a young life, sort of misguided, maybe through alcohol, drugs, made some poor choices. And I was wondering what his Christmas is going to be like this Christmas. Later on, I stopped at Costco, and there were two National Guardsmen. Actually, it was a woman and a man. And they were dressed in their battle fatigues. And they were buying a lot of food. I'm assuming it was for a Christmas party somewhere with their battalion or company or whatever. And as they were walking around, I thought of the Christmases I spent when I was on active duty, thousands of miles away from home. I thought about that. I remember sitting in a hooch, and we went outside and we cut down some scraggly bush or a piece of vegetation, if you wanted to call it that. We put it in the middle of the hooch, and we decorated with strips of paper and empty shell casings, and yes, even empty beer cans. And we admired this Christmas tree. No lights, but it was decorated, and it made us feel like we were a little closer to home. And my mother, my Italian mother, always sent a care package that it could only come from Brooklyn. It would have Italian cookies and provolone cheese and pepperoni, hard salami, and I would hand it out to guys who had no clue what they were eating. Guys from Oklahoma and Wyoming and Wisconsin. And they would love the care package my mother sent every year. But you know, as I reminisced about those Christmases away from home, in my own experience, I stopped for a moment and prayed for the servicemen and servicewomen serving around the world today, especially those in harm's way. And I wondered to myself, what is their Christmas like this year? You know, On Sunday, the 22nd, a Green Beret was killed in Afghanistan. And his body is being shipped even as we speak. And I thought about his family and what they must be thinking, having lost their son at war. And then what about missionaries who sacrifice and serve all around the world, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ away from their homes for years, some of them for decades, just totally emptied to do the work of God in foreign lands around the world. And I thought about them and I wondered what their Christmases are like as well. And then when we look down at the sleeping faces of our children and our grandchildren, secure in their homes, and I thought about, what about the millions of orphans around the world? Young children who have no families, some of them living in horrible conditions, wondering where their next meal is going to come from. And I wonder what their Christmases are going to be like this year. So here we are, seated in this beautiful sanctuary this evening. And I believe no matter what we may be going through tonight, we have so much to be thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
We really do, no matter what we're going through. But I'm thankful most of all this evening, not for the food in my refrigerator, not for the roof over my head that I will have tonight for my family and a bed to sleep in. And believe me, I am grateful for everything I have. I'm most grateful for the gift that God provided on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Just the thought, think about this. We mortals can personally know God in an intimate way through his son, Jesus Christ. It's hard to fathom that we could have this relationship with this God. It's amazing to know him in an intimate way, that he knows everything about us. He knows everything we're going through in our lives, the good times, the in-between times, the struggles that we might be facing even tonight. And in the midst of all of that, he states, I will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, he may not supply all of our wants, but he will supply our needs, the very things that we need the most. How can an awesome God, who has the power to create the universe and everything in it, take such notice about itsy-bitsy people like you and me? How's that even possible? When you think about it, it almost gives you a headache to say, I can't believe the God that put the stars in the heavens, created the seas and everything beneath the seas, the plants, the trees, life itself, knows you personally and me tonight. Well, when God looks at you and me, my friends, he sees sons and daughters. He sees persons of such value that he not only sent his son into the world on that first Christmas night in a town called Bethlehem, but no matter what you and I have done in our lives, we are still valued by him. No matter what we may have committed, no matter what we may be feeling terrible about that we may have done to others or even ourselves, we are valued by God because the Bible says that he looks upon us with compassion, even when we're crying. That is why Jesus entered the world. That is why Jesus entered Bethlehem, so he can reconcile us back into a personal relationship with his Father. You see, what Christmas says to me, friends, it's more than remembering the cry of a little baby in a manger in a town called Bethlehem. It's God descending upon this earth himself to be amongst us, Emmanuel, wherever we may be found. It's a beautiful thing that he cares for us in such a wonderful way. You know, some of the loneliest people I've met in my life are not just people who live alone. Some of the loneliest people I met in my life clutched a wine bottle, living right in the back of this church building. I've seen them there many times, homeless, wondering where their next meal's going to come from. But I'm also going to tell you, I've met some of the loneliest people in my life who are in the boardrooms of some of the largest corporations in the world, and they're still lonely, and they have everything but Christ. Everything. Big homes, fancy cars, travel the world, stocks, bonds. But they're lonely, nevertheless. You know, there was a man walking through the Smith Haven Mall, and he was frustrated. His wife dragged him out 2 days before Christmas. The pressing crowds, he couldn't stand it. You dragged me to this place. And this is what he said. They ought to take the guy responsible for this and shoot him. Well, in a way, they did. The one who we're supposed to be celebrating tonight, responsible for this celebration, may not have been shot, but he was crucified on Calvary's cross for you and me. For that inmate in jail, for that homeless person walking the streets of Patchogue, wondering where he's going to find a warm place to sleep tonight, for that executive in a Fortune 500 company, for that orphan, for that police officer, for that soldier in Afghanistan walking through the Hindu Kush mountains of that battlefield where so many of our men and women have laid down their lives. No matter how dark this world gets, my friends, no matter how dark your world or my world may get, remember Jesus is the light of the world. And so tonight, Barbara read these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We're talking about Jesus. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has ever been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men and women. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. Praise God. Later in chapter 12, Jesus would say, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should ever remain in darkness. Have you ever been in a dark place? I'm not talking about a room with the lights out. I'm talking about a place where you didn't want to get up in the morning, didn't want to go to work, struggling deep down inside. He said he will shine a light into that to bring you the joy he always wanted you to enjoy. So how will you spend Christmas this year? Will it be spent as a true believer in Christ, in whom we celebrate tonight? And if so, there's a challenge if we claim that in Matthew 5:16. We can't just say we go to church, because this is just a building, really. We make up the church. So if we really believe that, and we believe in the one we celebrate tonight, it says, then let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Are you willing to take that challenge? I know I am. Let's take that light out into that world and make a difference. Because I could tell you, my friends, I'm out there a lot and so are you. That world could use joy, peace, and life. And if we don't bring it, who will? Amen? Amen. Amen.